gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Good morning. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. David Shoster coming up on the big show. How very, very exciting. As we were saying at the top of the hour, I think Chris Christie did sit on John Boehner.
Yeah.
Somehow he came up with the cash for the disaster relief.
Where were you hiding it? Where were you hiding it?
He was this close to being hit with a bag of Vipers, I'm told. Jim, guess the quote for you. Who said there's only one group to blame for the continued suffering of those innocent victims? The House Majority Leader and their Speaker, John Boehner. Who said that?
That guy from Saturday Night Live with the bag of Vipers.
No, but close. Chris Christie.
Oh,
Governor
okay.
Chris Christie said that. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
They seem to be in somewhat of disarray, the Republicans. Who said,
yeah,
we respond to innocent victims of natural disasters not as Republicans or Democrats, but as Americans, or at least we did until last night. Last night, politics was placed above oaths to our citizens. To me, it was disappointing and disgusting to watch. Who said that?
Julie Christie.
No. Well, that was Governor Chris Christie.
Ah. Well, they look so much alike, you know, it's easy to make it.
How much bourbon do you think John Boehner drank last night? Last night, the House of Representatives failed that most basic test of public service, and they did so with callous indifference to the suffering of the people of my state. This should have been a no-brainer for House Republicans. Who said that?
Warren Beatty.
No, that was Governor Chris Christie.
Warren Beatty. I was going to go through the whole cast of Heaven Can Wait.
No. Diane Cannon?
James Mason.
Between Peter King and what you call it? Chris Christie, and I think our work is done here, pretty much. Ironically.
Yeah.
They're saying it better than we can about Republicans these days.
Yeah.
Well, not better than, you know. Who can?
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Bullfightstrategies.com. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. You know, it's my understanding that in no time at all, the disaster relief funds will be falling off a truck in New Jersey. And getting right to helping people.
Exactly. By the way, you tweeted it best about the fiscal cliff. You said Speaker Boehner votes yes, Speaker Cantor votes no.
Yes.
Well, I'm wondering when the AP style guide is going to be published with, air quotes around Speaker when talking about Boehner.
Yes, Speaker Boehner, right.
God, can you imagine the drama between those two right now?
Wow. I know. And did you see that Cantor tweeted he stands behind Boehner?
Yeah.
And then, right, well, between him and the Shiv, he stands right behind him directly.
I stand behind you with a knife in my hand.
This is like watching an episode of The Hills on MTV a couple of years ago.
Right. Did you see yesterday afternoon, Mediaite was reporting that Boehner was getting ready to step down, but they have since pulled that story?
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Wow. Yeah.
Gee, I wonder who the sources were.
Exactly. Came from Cantor. Side of the hill.
Although, you put enough scotch in Boehner, you never know what he could say. Head over to the Capitol Grill, get him boozed up.
There you go.
I never saw that. Furthermore.
And by the way, I loved your tweet about the NRA press conference that we covered the last day before vacation.
Yeah.
You said NRA took a week to make a statement because LaPierre was slow in cutting and pasting letters out of magazines to compose his speech.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's absolutely frightening, the response or lack thereof that's happened. I thought the president has done a good job of saying that he wants something done this month. But we haven't been on for a couple weeks now, and
yes.
I can't even count the number of shootings that we've had. There've been shootings in California and Pennsylvania and all over the place.
Yeah.
In the interim. So
yeah.
Hopefully this problem can get tackled, but I don't have a whole lot of faith in the House of Representatives.
Really? What would you base that on? They've been so well lately.
Well, if they put everything to an up or down vote, we'd probably get somewhere, but, they don't have the guts to do that. Speaker Boehner can't control his caucus, and Eric Cantor isn't quite there yet either.
Yeah. What more fun for us? Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Bit of disarray.
A little bit.
Very upsetting.
A little bit.
But really gratifying after all these years of Democrats bumbling around, stories from the Beltway Press.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Dave Briggs, I don't know who this is. It's a Fox and Friends weekend guy.
Yes, it is.
Okay. The mainstream media mocking the head of the NRA for saying all schools should have armed guards in the wake of the Newtown school shooting. But a new Gallup poll shows 54% of Americans have a favorable opinion of the National Rifle Association. Why is the mainstream media so harsh on them?
Well,
let's see.
For example,
where should we start?
For the same reason that you're a weekend anchor on Fox News, because you're just not good enough.
Okay.
Ooh, that was harsh. Wow.
I can't really top that. That was the fatal blow.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. And doggone it, people don't like
you. Body blow.
Like
body blow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Stuart Varney on Fox News.
I came here 40 years ago to escape what's going on over there. I now found that my adopted country is becoming more and more like over there. This fiscal cliff deal puts America more firmly on the road to becoming like Europe. In every aspect, we are becoming Europeanized. Our economy, our morality, even our culture is becoming more and more like Europe.
Oh, dear.
Except for
if he wants to be Europeanized, I know a lot of people that would love to European on him.
You're on fire today, Carl Frisch.
Carl, you're in a mood.
I'm tan, rested, and ready from the holiday break.
I wouldn't European on him if he were on fire.
Yay! Ladies and gentlemen. All right.
It's always good to come back to Stuart Varney's voice.
As an American, I'm appalled at the Europeanization.
Oh, Carl,
I always think you're playing clips from the Harry Potter movies because I haven't seen them yet.
Carl had an extra bowl of bitchy this morning.
Yes. We love that.
Okay. He had
Carnation Instant Bitch for breakfast.
Right, he borrowed mine.
Yes.
Here is Brian Kilmeade, Fox and Friends.
We're becoming more and more like Europe, like Senator Graham indicates. Is it possible we could see riots in the streets?
Well,
you know, I don't think
if you keep suggesting it.
I don't think the folks at Fox and Friends should be able to talk about Europe until they can find it on a map.
Yeah.
The one thing that you know is that with the second Obama administration, Fox is going to go even further off the rails. And if Hannity's ratings are anything to judge by, they're going to decimate whatever they have left of their ratings.
Well, yeah, Carl, we were talking about that story yesterday that Hannity's ratings are in half because we were saying, gee, I wonder how people are going to feel about being lied to this entire time about how the election was going to turn out and whatever. I guess we found out.
Romney's going to win.
Well, I mean, it's not like they could come back on election, like after Election Day, and be like, oh, he lost. Obama lost. Don't watch anything else or read the newspaper.
Yes, don't. There's nothing else. Just stay here. They would. If they could have done that, they would have. They would have just pretended as if Romney made up fake stories for 4 years.
In other news, Sarah Palin was finally confirmed as UN Secretary General.
You betcha.
News for the hard to believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew Napolitano, Fox News.
We fought a revolution against the king and the parliament in Great Britain when taxes were at 3%. Now they want to take 40% from us. Do we work for the government or does the government work for us?
That's a good
point. These are profound questions that were not addressed in the rush to judgment last night. And when Republicans raise taxes, they lose. When they cut taxes, they win. They rejected that truism yesterday.
Wow. Is that what the Reagan Revolution was about? Because what were tax rates then, I wonder, Carl?
Yeah, I wonder what they were under Eisenhower. And I wonder, you know what? Not everybody pays the 40% rate, Andrew Napolitano.
Right.
You're a very lucky man if you're able to.
And when the colonists were being taxed 3%, they weren't getting anything back from the crown. It was all going to Britain.
And as I understand it, they had no representation, was what I was going to
say.
That's
right.
Yes.
Right, and the states that vote Republican actually pay less in taxes than they get back from the feds.
Yep.
All right, Bernard McGurk from Imus on Fox Business Channel.
Hillary Clinton is in the hospital in New York here for that blood clot that everybody was speculating about earlier. You remember she couldn't make the hearings and people thought it was a phony thing with the concussion and
you
all
did.
That.
You were curious during that.
Well, the Clintons reap what they sow. But, you can't fault us for being a little skeptical when something like this happens.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Rather than just saying, gee, sorry, we were wrong and we apologize because someone is seriously ill.
And people wonder why Don Imus is now on Fox Business.
Ha!
I mean,
is that still on the air?
This is the kind of stuff that they said every friggin' day of the week. You know, usually with a racist or sexist undertone or overtone, as the case may be. But this is the kind of garbage that you expect from the right wing at this point. These are people that didn't believe birth certificates for President Obama. You cannot expect them to respect a medical diagnosis when they think that, you know, medicine has more likely to be, you know, liberal bias than the media or government or science.
Right. Well, you know, isn't this part and parcel, though, what Chris Christie just said about, you know, this shouldn't be Republican or Democrat. Isn't it just human to go, oh, sorry, that was, you know, that was in poor taste and we apologize for suggesting she was
human,
faking.
But, you know, underneath those costumes are these reptilian overlords.
All right. And we end with Glenn Beck, and why not, on The Blaze.
Anybody who brings him up, unless Obama. It's me, is fired. But I can't take the man's voice. I don't want to hear him. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know about him. I don't. You want that information, go anyplace else. There's thousands of outlets now. You can have all that information you want. I'm not talking about that man anymore. Don't speak his name. And I'm also going to go, with my mother used to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So.
Well, there goes your show.
There you
wow.
go.
Wow.
I said everything I have to say about that man.
Wow.
That man being the president of the United
right.
States.
Talk radio. That's good news for a talk radio right. show.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, I've had a similar policy about Glenn Beck for a long time. In fact, the only place I've allowed his name to be spoken or heard his voice has been on Right Wing World. But if he's not going to say anything about Barack Obama, it leads me to wonder, what else could we get on his banned subject list? I mean, just Democrats in general. It's where he can only talk about Republicans.
Anything happening on planet Earth.
Right.
And can you stay on the air for 4 years with dead air? I'm not sure. Can you talk about gold for 4 years?
Yay!
All right.
Well,
yay!
You can if you've got survival seeds, because you won't even have to leave your apartment if you've got survival seeds.
Carl Frisch, thank you, my friend. Extra,
Happy New Year.
An extra bowl of bitchy this morning. We love it. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk inside your trunk?
I'ma get you drunk. Get you love drunk off my hump. My hump, my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump. My lovely little lump.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. David Schuster coming up in hour number 3 today.
Yes.
The most interesting man in the world.
He is.
Mm-hmm. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. What, Jim, I have a couple more Guess the Quotes for
Uh-oh.
You. Uh-huh. Who said this was good enough for 62 senators, but this was good enough for a majority of the House of Representatives? It just could not overcome the toxic internal politics of the House majority. Who said that?
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
No, that was Governor Chris Christie.
So close.
Not very many kind words about Republicans these days. From Republicans. Huh. New York deserves better than the selfishness we saw on display last night. New Jersey deserves better than the duplicity we saw on display last night. America deserves better than just another example of government that has forgotten who they are there to serve and why. 66 days and counting. Shame on you. Shame on Congress. Who said that?
Johann Sebastian Bach.
No. Governor Chris Christie.
Mm.
Okay.
A little closer.
Okay. Exactly. So they will vote, I guess, Friday?
Friday, yes.
I mean,
and then they're going to vote again on another package on the 15th.
It is really incredible. Just when you think it's another first, you go, yep, we've never done this before.
Yeah.
We've never, like, held up disaster relief this long for somebody. It's incredible. Jim in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Hi.
That fellow that you were talking about, or that you had a quote on with the British accent that thinks America's becoming so Europeanized?
Yes.
Varney was his name?
Yes.
Stuart Varney.
If we're becoming so Europeanized, how come our gun control laws are so many decades out of step with that?
Yeah, how come we don't have single payer?
Exactly.
How come we don't have all the good things from Europe?
Exactly. You know,
how come we? How come we don't have two gun deaths a year like some of those?
How come
countries?
We don't have 8 weeks of paid vacation?
Yeah.
And how come we have a guy named Varney? Isn't he the one that used to do the know what I mean, Vern?
No, that's entirely
that's
different.
Jim Varney.
That's Jim Varney.
You know what I mean, Vern.
But they're both, they're both equally doofy, though.
You've got his British cousin quoting there.
Yes.
There you go.
Although, occasionally on your soundbite list, I have put Jim Varney on there just because I was tired or something.
Know what I mean, Vern.
Or drunk.
Yes, exactly. All right.
Yes, Vern, I know exactly what you mean.
All right. Governor Chris Christie left.
I was called at 11:20 last night by Leader Cantor and told that authority for the vote was pulled by the Speaker.
Poor John Bailey. Okay, so first of all...
And he couldn't suppress a giggle. I'm going to be Speaker.
He's just so skeevy.
Uh-huh.
Eric Cantor. So, not only
Of course
did...
I look younger than him. I'm moisturized.
Right. Moisturize.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't know that?
Sheesh.
He's a man who uses product on his hair. Okay, so not only has John Boehner told Harry Reid to, you know, off twice.
Twice.
And then gone back to his caucus to brag about that. He yelled at Congressman Frank Lobiondo.
Lobiondo, yeah.
Poor,
a Republican,
poor
by the
Boehner.
Way.
Yes. No, exactly. They're just really losing it. Boehner yelled at a member of his own caucus reportedly Tuesday night after lawmakers from New Jersey and New York repeatedly pressed him to bring the Superstorm Sandy relief bill to the floor for a vote. Boehner had a heated exchange, is what they're calling it.
Heated?
You know what you can do is disaster relief.
Seriously? I bet you just that's all you hear is clinking glasses and just gulping when you go by his office.
Say what I'm saying, Shane.
Glug. Cartoon gulping.
Yeah.
Glug.
With the lumps going down the esophagus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Joking to it. Yay. Cartoon drinking. Anyway, yes, it's being described as a heated exchange by fellow Representative Peter King, who's also been quite outspoken.
He has.
About the douchiness of Republicans these days.
What is wrong with you people?
This is when the House adjourned without passing the relief package. King said, I was chasing the Speaker all over the House floor last night trying to talk to him and his staff. He refused to meet with us. He actually yelled at Congressman Lobiondo saying, I'm not meeting with you people. Now he's referring to his caucus as you people.
You people.
You people.
Just... Stop following me.
Yeah. Just bite me. You people.
Wow.
Slam. Glug, 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 glug.
There.
That's a guilty sound.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Drinking rye.
That's the sound of...
He's down to drinking rye.
It's going to be like rubbing alcohol by tomorrow.
He's going to reach for the Frangelico in the back. Oh, that's all I got left.
He's just eating raw rye and barley.
Yeah.
Hoping it'll...
Yeah, the grains.
Right.
Yes.
Hoping it'll...
Boehner is scheduled to meet with lawmakers from New York and New Jersey at 3 p.m. yesterday, which is probably when Chris Christie sat on him. And then this is the sound that you heard, just the door slamming. That was what he sounded like when Chris Christie was on top.
Sat on him, yes. All the drinking has made Boehner's bones brittle.
And then he went back to his office, slammed the door.
I'm not talking to you people.
And started drinking again.
This is like an old-timey radio play.
Old-timey. I'm expecting Travis to run in more scripts.
Yeah.
Where's my sheet of metal for thunder?
Who's on Foley this morning?
Right. Oh, we're losing it.
Wow, yes, why not? All right.
Yeah, well.
That's what it sounds like in my house. That's why that was so realistic.
Sure.
Yes. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. It's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And the quality's not that great, because you have to consider...
Stephanie Miller.
It's made for TV, and surprisingly, quality of television isn't that great.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Mike in Illinois. Hey, Mike, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I love you guys.
Thank you. I love you back.
Real interesting story in the paper today. We have a senator from Illinois. He's a Republican, Mark Kirk.
Yep.
And shortly after he was elected, he suffered a major stroke, and he was paralyzed half of his body. And he's coming back now, and he was saying that had he been limited to Medicaid, okay, he would have only had 8 to 9 rehabilitative sessions. He only would have paid for that. He never would have recovered his capacity to become a U.S. senator. So, and also he said he was going to vote against the fiscal cliff. So these guys are finally beginning to wake up that maybe some of these programs are important after all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's,
no,
you know,
they're just for 47% of moochers.
Mike, somebody was saying that, you know, and again, it's not to say that, you know, everything applies to every Republican, but somebody was saying that in a general sense. It seems like until something happens to them, they don't get a lot of these issues, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. I mean, you know, like I was saying, to me, it's disgraceful that Dick Cheney allowed them to use the degree of gay bashing they did to win, you know, what was it, 2004, when his own daughter is gay. Like now he's for marriage equality.
Sure.
Because it's
convenient
right,
for him.
Right. Debbie in Connecticut. Hi, Deb.
Hello.
Hello.
I really like your show.
Thank you.
My question to you is, why as taxpayers, as we're these stupid folks' bosses, okay, can't we take their money out from under them?
You're talking about Congress?
Yes. I want to pull all the Republican funds out from every Republican.
Well, yeah, when they say, you know, I love the whole, you know, who's the latest one that has threatened to obviously vote against the debt ceiling? You know, and they're like, he said it would be fine to have a government shutdown. How about we just shut down your half of the government? How about that? Right?
I would love to see them shut down. They really deserve
it. You hate
shut
to say
that,
but you go,
their
right, why don't you shut down the part that pays for, you know what I mean, that, that gives any benefits to any Republicans in any state, and then see how, you know, how they feel about their representatives. You know, it's like they're fine with shutting down the entire government. It really is. It's incredible. By the way, Peter King, my goodness, he's been very, very opinionated. He said everybody should halt donations to the House Republicans for the lack of Sandy funding. Mm-hmm. What a good idea.
Yeah.
There he is.
There's some dysfunction in the Republican leadership. The Speaker, for some reason, is taking it out on New York and Long Island and New Jersey, where it's a disgrace.
Boy, he was everywhere last night on the
TV.
Yeah,
he was.
He said, these Republicans have no problem finding New York when they're out raising millions of dollars. They're in New York all the time filling their pockets with money from New Yorkers. I'm saying right now, anyone from New York or New Jersey who contributes one penny to congressional Republicans is out of their minds, because what they did last night was put a knife in the back of New Yorkers and New Jerseyans. It's an absolute disgrace. Seriously, we can just stand back at this point and let Republicans talk about themselves. Throughout this whole deal, he said, Cantor was totally straight with us, blaming Boehner. Oh, yeah. Dear. Oh, dear. The plot thickens.
Oh, another thing about the orange man.
King was joined in his condemnation by Ohio Representative Steve LaTourette, who slammed his Republican colleagues who opposed the relief. He called them chuckleheads. Chuckleheads, I tell you.
Really? That's a lame insult.
You chuckleheads. Why I oughta.
Yeah, that's from the 30s. That's like something Donald Rumsfeld would say.
Exactly. All right.
Nice stars and garters.
Governor.
Those chuckleheads. And nincompoops.
It is. It's like an old man phrase.
Yeah.
Okay. Governor Chris Christie.
I called the speaker 4 times last night after 11:20. And he did not take my calls. It is why the American people hate Congress.
Because he probably couldn't hear the phone ring because he was in his office. Ring, 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 ring.
I'm not talking to you.
I just picture his poor beleaguered assistant, Chris Christie, on the line again. Mr. Speaker, Chris
How
Christie.
How do we get any more bourbon?
Governor Christie again.
On a political chessboard of internal palace intrigue politics, our people were played last night as a pawn.
Yikes. He was
on fire.
Yeah, he was on fire last night. Once again.
There's only one group to blame for the continued suffering of these innocent victims. The House majority and their speaker, John Boehner. New York deserves better than the selfishness we saw on display last night. New Jersey deserves better than the duplicity we saw on display last night. America deserves better than just another example of a government that has forgotten who they are there to serve and why.
Yeah, it really is. It really is incredible. Since when do have we... This is disaster relief for Americans. Not, you don't look at states and go, well, I wonder who's Republican and who's Democrat. I mean, it's like this has just never been done before, particularly a storm of this size. He said this is not a Republican or a Democratic issue. We respond to innocent victims of natural disasters, not as Republicans or Democrats, but as Americans, or at least we did until last night. He went right at the speaker. Yeah. He said this is the speaker's decision, his alone. He said it could not, just not overcome the toxic internal politics of the House majority. Yikes. Hmm. One more
question. I'm not going to get into the specifics of what I discussed with John Boehner today, but what I will tell you is there is no reason for me at the moment to believe anything they tell me.
Wow.
Because they've been telling me stuff for weeks, and they didn't deliver. 66 days and counting. Shame on you. Shame on Congress.
Yeah, because of duplicity. I'll give you some triplicity. How's that? Stick that in your head and smoke it.
I'm almost entirely certain that John Boehner was not able to say the word duplicity.
It's one of those words you can't say when you're drunk.
When Boehner, accused him of that. Exactly. I can barely say it sober. I am not duplicitous.
I am
and duplicitous, even worse than duplicity.
They got two S's.
I am not duplicitous. Right, you need to buy a vowel when you've had that much bourbon. There's no way.
Just throw a few O's in there.
Duplicity.
Maybe you could have more specificity regarding my duplicity.
Yeah, I have more specificity. Specificity.
I'm not going to participate. This is conversation about it. If you don't give me more specificity about my duplicity. Oh, sorry.
Sure.
Okay. We may be enjoying Boehner's pain a little bit too much at this point. Okay. Oh, let's pile on. Representative Michael Grimm, Republican of New York.
There was a betrayal. And there was an error in judgment.
Boehner.
That is going to cost, I think, the trust of the American people.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you saying the American people trusted congressional Republicans? Oh, and that's all gone.
Yeah.
Good job,
Boehner. Because you got reelected on that. Oh, no, you didn't.
You guys were so beloved before this. I mean, really. Okay, and here he is, Frank LaBiondo. He's the Republican of Jersey.
Right.
That was just yelled at by Boehner on the House floor.
Absurd. Absolutely absurd. We demand nothing less than we have given the rest of the country. An emergency and disaster means emergency and disaster.
But enough about my speakership. The president had...
sorry, disaster.
Excuse me?
Disaster is when I run out of bourbon.
That's a disaster.
The president had said when tragedy strikes, Americans come together to support those in need. I urge Republicans in the House of Representatives to do the same, bring this important request to a vote today, and pass it without delay for our fellow Americans. So they have, I mean, I swear to God, I keep saying this. A lot of Republicans, they appear these days to only do things because they have to.
Right.
Not because it's the right thing to do, because they're pressured into it politically. I mean, it's just, it's extraordinary. Let's go to Doretha in Memphis. Hey, Doretha.
Hi, Doretha.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about Grover Norquist when he was on Andrew Mitchell yesterday.
Right. Oh, yes. That was something, wasn't it? He said Republicans did not vote to raise taxes. What now? Yeah.
Yeah. I like the way he explained that.
Yeah. How did that go down for you? Him trying to explain that a tax increase isn't a tax increase.
Right. I can't see how he can say that when they all voted to raise taxes.
Yeah, well, because he's Grover Norquist, and he's a little droopy about his pledge these
days. Yeah, tell me my pledge. I'll drown you in a bathtub. I will. Just wait.
It looks like one of my Chardonnay-soaked cocktail napkins these days.
Yeah.
Can you sign my, like, all the writing is running on it. It's all sad. Yeah, I thought I read this wrong, Chris. This, Grover Norquist, was on MSNBC, as she mentioned,
right,
with Andrea Mitchell.
Uh-huh.
And he said, no Republican voted for a tax increase.
That is false.
Andrea Mitchell said, wait a second.
What?
Andrea Mitchell said, ball sex says what?
Yes. Mm.
So weird, you knew that.
Uh-huh.
Donkey breast says who now?
Don't talk about Alan Greenspan that way. What? No.
Oh.
Is it possible we're becoming more unhinged after vacation than we were before? She said, I mean, we're not living in the Alice in Wonderland world here. There is a tax increase for wealthier Americans. It's literally a tax increase. He said, technically it's not.
Ooh, look, there's a talking rabbit.
Ooh, look over there. No. What happened yesterday was all the tax rates went up, and then the Republicans and the Congress together took them down for some people, not for everybody. Right.
Nah.
That's a tax increase, you see, for the wealthy, which is what the president ran and
right.
Uh-huh.
Won on.
Yeah.
I loved it. I read his tweet yesterday. Boner won. Lame duck president should get over it.
Yeah.
Boner won re-election. What?
What?
Okay.
Huh?
What? Ball sex is what now? All right, 45 minutes after the
duck
hour.
Duck rest is what?
Huh? 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. You made me snarf on my keyboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. The politics of dancing. Oh, oh, if this message on the screen.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Mike in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Well, good morning to you.
Well, good morning to you.
I'd like to defend, if possibly. Yeah, bear with me. I'm a little nervous right now.
Don't be nervous. I'll be very gentle.
Thank you. First-time caller. But anyway, I'm a gun owner myself, and the issue that I have with the so-called gun grabbers, is the term. Yep.
That's kind of a heated term now, Mike.
I know. Bear with me. Is how hypocrite are we as a nation, where we could supply how many firearms to how many hostiles across the world? We could supply the world hostiles with fighter jets. We could bomb innocent people with drones. But yet, since it's not in our backyard, that is totally acceptable. Those weapons that we're supplying to across the world.
Okay, but let's go back to your original, to the gun grabbers. Do you really think someone's going to come grab your guns?
No, I don't. But, you know, and the few that I have on that is I've never even received a speeding ticket in my life. And I'm a good, hardworking person. I've been married since I was 18. I've been married for 25 years.
Well, listen, you're doing
You've never had a dog off a leash, have you?
Yeah, you're doing better than I am, crime-wise. I was just in criminal court last week for my dog off a leash ticket.
Right. Well, and by the way, I did vote for Romney, and I do apologize for that. And I really
thank
think
you.
The other man got... Yes, but I'll have to be honest with you. But the whole issue is, no, I don't think they're coming after the guns. And
you start the conversation by saying the problem with the gun grabbers?
Well, it's just a term that you just hear the conservative and Republican base throw that term loosely. So I'm just independent.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Well, no one's grabbing your gun, so let's start there.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe they are. But,
yes.
But at the same time, I do believe that the manufacturers of these weapons, there's no reason why I need 20 or 30 rounds.
You're a reasonable Republican. Mike, what is your take, though, on why there is so much more gun violence in the United States than any other country?
I would really like to look at it as the family. The family, there's absentee parents.
I'm sorry, say again? It's
absentee parents.
Oh.
Absentee parents. Also, I think a lot has to do with...
Well, this guy's the guy in... what's his... I don't even want to say his name. I'm sorry, the Newtown shooter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, his mother was... Right, his mother was very much in his life, tried to get him help, right?
Oh, okay, well, see, now there's an issue that I'm going to bring up that a lot of people don't want to hear now. As being a responsible gun owner myself, if I knew any of my children were at risk or I thought they were at the danger of doing anything of this magnitude, gun firearms would be out of my house.
Yeah, no, and I agree. That's what, I mean, there is, I think there's some incongruity there, don't you, that she seemed to certainly care about him and try to get him help, but then why do you have, you know, an array of assault weapons available at the same time?
Exactly. Weapons to that magnitude, I agree. I mean, that would be the first thing that would be out of the house. But, you know, so, yes, I agree with that.
No, but you know, Mike, when people say this is just the price of our freedom, really? Are we willing to pay that price that, you know, our first graders might get mowed down at, there's a pretty even chance they'll get mowed down in first grade? That's okay? I mean...
No. I believe this, being a gun owner myself, I'm a collector. I own numerous firearms. Do I own any of these AR-style rifles?
You won't have that many when I come to grab them, Mike. See what I did there? I kept you on the line long enough to trace the call, so I know where all the guns are.
That's fine, but you know, I wouldn't have a problem because first of all, I don't own one. I don't have any purpose. I'm not a hunter. I have no reason to hunt, and nothing against the hunters or nothing against people who are good, honest people who choose to use those rifles to their sport. The majority of the people who are legal binding citizens that do own them are very decent people. However, I think they should be in our...
You know, it's funny. My friend, I have a militant vegetarian friend.
We have a few of them.
Right, who says that she's not trying to convert me, but then... because she knows I'm such an animal lover.
Yeah.
And she was talking about... her father was a hunter. And she said, you know, even though I don't eat meat and I hate the whole thing, and I'm... she's a big animal rescue person. She said... she was talking about, for instance, the way cows are killed, and she said they die in terror. They see all their friends being killed in front of them, and they know what's going to happen. And she said, at least, you know, with my dad, when she was a little girl, he'd take her with him. And she said, you know, it was a clean shot, and the animal didn't die in terror and didn't suffer, and so
absolutely, and that's the one thing I agree with. If I didn't see the face on the animal that I was about to eat, I would have no problem with it. But you know, that's
right.
Just my way.
All that being said, I'm a big hypocrite because I had a nice big steak on vacation. But
and you love your prime rib
in front of your vegetarian friend, right?
No, I didn't. I did it behind her back. All right, Mike. Nice talking to you.
Real fast, back to that comment about how I feel about with the firearms going across seas. That's the issue that I would just like to hear your take and the take of people leaning left.
Well, you know me. I'd like to grab all the guns, so that would cover overseas and yours, Mike. So, all right. Nice talking to you, sweetheart. All that being said, it did affect me for a moment, and then I...
And then you got over it. Then you had a steak.
Then I was like, filet mignon.
Yum. Wrapped in bacon.
No, I didn't.
No?
I didn't have it wrapped in bacon.
No.
All right. Sarah in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sarah. Hello.
Hello. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
It's been so long, I forgot what I had to say.
Uh-oh.
But Happy New Year to you and your staff.
Happy New Year.
I just want to say something, and I want you to understand that I'm neither Republican or, God forbid, or Democrat.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. You like to listen to both sides, and you just stumbled upon my show.
You know what? I do. I like listening to both sides. It makes it interesting. I'm an American like you folks.
Okay.
But I have a question for you, Stephanie.
Okay.
And it's something you probably cannot answer. It's just a sort of a rhetorical. We all need vacations, and you'll agree with that, and
yes.
I hope you enjoyed yours.
Thank you.
However, I don't know why Obama went back to Hawaii again. He needs to be doing the people's work.
And well, because he had to interrupt his vacation because the Republicans were being asshats again.
Well, yeah, I understand all that.
He left his children.
And I appreciate that he did.
Right, so we got the fiscal cliff deal done, and now he's taking the rest of New Year's week to be with his family.
I think we've been on a fiscal cliff tour for the last 4 years. It doesn't matter how hard we hit the ground now. But I really believe that. Don't his children go to school? What's going on with him?
Children are on vacation this week. It's Christmas vacation.
And I know that. And I'm a childless loser.
They go back next
week. Where's his children? Why aren't they being educated? Oh, it's vacation. Okay. 58 minutes to the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. 2 weeks, the big inauguration Sexy Liberal Show in Washington, D.C.
Coming up,
January 19th, tickets going very, very fast. All four Sexy Liberals and two huge surprise celebrity guests on panel. Oh, in fact, did we ever post this?
What?
I think this is before the holidays. I'll find it. Carol and Bandit, it's the Sexy Liberal Teabagging Canines. It's dogs
yes,
that are teabagging each other while they're watching us on Current.
Wow.
Okay. Mom and the Mooks, here's a photo of our dogs watching Talking Liberally, the Stephanie Miller Show, while it's demonstrating how sexy liberal dogs teabag. That's really quite a disturbing photo, because I'm right behind the teabagging. The one on the bottom is... That's the bottom. Action Jackson.
Sure.
Action Jackson.
The catcher, if you will.
Uh-huh. Action Jackson is the, is presumably power bottom. Action Jackson. And the adorable puppy on top is Steffi.
The pitcher.
She's a golden terry doodle, aren't we all?
A terry doodle?
Terry doodle.
Really?
We named her Mama because she's beautiful, extremely intelligent.
Beauty Paul.
Highly, and, I am beauty schmal. My friend Rob calls me.
Buteschmal?
That's when he pets me and his dog lady
at the
same time.
I thought it was Butepaul.
No, it's Buteschmal.
When did that change?
I don't know, because... Never mind.
It just evolved.
No, because all girls like to be told they are schmal and Buteschmal. Okay.
Huh?
She's beautiful, extremely intelligent, highly energetic, and likes to sit on people's laps and lick their faces. Right.
And they're schmals.
Bandit and I would like to request that they be the official Sexy Liberal Teabagging Canines. Carol and Bandit and presumably Action Jackson, the bottom.
The catcher.
Of the teabagging.
Sure.
Canines. Okay.
Well, that's disturbing.
Yes. It was a disturbing picture.
No.
All right. And this one, I could just use a love letter this morning.
Yeah.
This one, he didn't get out of the subject line, but still, Randy wanted me to know, hello. You are the most interesting person I have ever seen. Thank you, Randy. Thank you.
That's loaded. That's very loaded.
You know what? I'm going to ask the most interesting man in the world, David Schuster, what he thinks about that next hour.
All right.
Hello. I like letters that begin hello. Hello.
But that wasn't a letter. It's a subject line.
I'm the most interesting person he's ever seen, so shut up!
But it wasn't a letter. It was a subject line.
So? He got his point across. What more is there to say than I'm the most interesting person in the world?
That's not a letter. That's a tweet. He could have tweeted that just as easily.
I don't care.
I know. You don't read Twitter.
All right. Did you send this to me to make me cry? Speaking of
love stories? I did. Yeah.
Oh, because I needed a happy story.
I know.
I haven't spent my entire vacation watching Les Miserables and crying. Really?
I cried 4 times during that movie.
Oh, my God. Man up.
Well... It was sad. Everybody was miserable.
That's what I said. I was,
and that was just Russell Crowe singing.
Rowan and I watched it in Maui. I was weeping. And I was like, it's just so sad. And I told you, he said, it's not called The Happies.
No, it's not.
It's in the title. You were warned they're all miserable.
It's not Los Feliz.
Les Heureux.
No, Les Miserables.
Bleh.
Okay. All right, so I needed this.
Los Felices.
Pardon me? Yes.
Never mind. Mm-hmm. Plural.
Lost blind dog finds its way home to Alaska owners.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Fairbanks in the winter.
Oh, no.
Wow. And Sarah Palin shot him.
Oh, no. Stop
it. Stop it.
Jim will be
the story
Lord.
Does not end that way.
Oh, good. Actually, I used that sound effect for Hard Drinking Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very exciting. Blind and alone In Alaska, winter temperatures that dip 40 degrees below zero. I'm just laughing about syrup, but that's terrible. It does not end that way.
From a helicopter.
So cold.
So cold.
Yogi, I'm
Yogi.
So cold.
Yogi, so cold. She shot me, Yogi.
What was that's some old sketch where Sarah Palin
right.
shoots
yeah.
him? Oh, Boo Boo.
Yeah, Boo Boo.
Not Honey Boo Boo. The
no.
bear.
Well, some, okay. never mind.
And then,
I was
then
say
Yogi
rude, and
then
I...
Yogi, you know, just rips her to shreds and
right.
balls her.
Yeah, it was yeah. really very sad sketch. A lost 8-year-old Fairbanks dog wasn't given much of a chance to make it home, but after walking 10 miles to the edge of a local musher's dog yard, a musher, Abby, the brown and white mixed breed, found and returned to her owner's family. That includes two girls and one boy under the age of 10.
And there was another blind dog story that a cat, they adopted a stray cat, and the cat is like the seeing eye cat for the blind
Aww.
Dog.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. And this just...
Because?
This is from the drunk stack.
Sure.
It makes me feel like less of a...
Loser.
Drunk.
Oh.
Loser.
Well.
Sure.
Drunk loser.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Shut up.
It also
belongs...
I love it when drunk stack meets Isn't It Ironic file.
Oh?
Yes. The head...
Isn't it ironic?
The headline is Man Gets DUI After Driving Onto AA Co-Founder's Lawn.
Oh. Oh. Wow.
That is awesome.
That's irony.
That is actually
that
irony.
That is yes. actual irony.
Right.
Vermont State Police say a man faces drunk driving charges after driving onto the lawn of the historic home.
Of
once
Bill?
Owned by the co-founder of
Bill
Alcoholics
W.
Anonymous. He is clearly a friend of Bill. I'm a friend of Bill. Okay. He told me I could park on the lawn. The funniest part of this is not about John Boner, so that's exciting. It was the lawn of the Wilson House built.
Bill W.
The birthplace
yeah.
of, right. Co-founder Bill Wilson.
Yeah.
The Wilson.
Shh, gave him his.
Oh, you gave his name.
Name.
Was it supposed to be anonymous?
It's
Hi, Bill.
It's in the title of the organization, Nimrod.
You're thinking Brian Wilson.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, there you mentioned another. Oh, stop it. The Wilson House website describes it as a place, quote-unquote, of sanctuary where people can come to give thanks to God for their new lives.
Or park their cars on the lawn.
Sure.
Or just pause briefly while they sober up.
Sure.
With thinking that sort of.
Sleep it off.
Right?
Yeah.
Or sleep it off.
Cup of coffee.
Right. Exactly. Okay. All right. It's not great about all of those stories. All right. Eric in Fort Worth, Texas. Hello, Eric.
Hi, how are you, Stephanie?
Good, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I was just listening to the local news here, and originally they said that Al Gore sold his Al Jazeera network to, he sold it recently.
Yes.
That's what the Fox local news said.
Yes.
But then I got confirmation that it was just Current TV was sold to Al Jazeera.
That's right. Yes.
And Al Gore never owned Al Jazeera.
No.
Fox News is idiot.
No, he did not put the Al in that Al Jazeera. No, it is. That is true.
Call me Al Jazeera.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I had to go outside of Fox to find it. I'm here in Fort Worth. I moved here when it was a reasonable place to live, and it's changed over the past 10, 11 years. So I travel a lot. But at least confirmed, I'm glad you confirmed that for me.
Yeah, that is true. Not the best of news, probably, for us.
No,
but,
not even when it comes to money. I can't believe that. But so do you know what the stocks, well, what is that going to do to the show?
Well, depends on how they feel about women in baseball hats, but I don't think we know yet. It was just announced yesterday.
Right.
And so.
And programming decisions have not been made yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't have any answers, so we really can't talk about it.
I just would like to announce that I do have hair, if that matters to anybody. I could take this off. Okay. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. You know what? We're laughing. We're laughing this morning.
Yeah.
And at least I'm not going to end up on the founder's lawn.
Right. But it was just announced yesterday, and so it's too soon. We don't.
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't have any answers.
Right. Okay. Let's go to. Don't look at me. Don't make eye contact. Let's go to Cheryl in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I want to make a comment about that lady that called before. My gosh, you know, Obama's the best president we've ever had. And, I mean, they're still complaining. I mean, let the guy go to Hawaii.
Well, and, she was concerned that he's not educating his children because they're out of school this week.
He's done so much. It's like, give him a break. Let him to go to Hawaii. He's done so much.
I know.
But I wanted to make a comment about the guy that called before her. You know, I'm an ex-Tea Partier, too, like him. And he sounds like he needs, I got rehab, Republican rehab, and, you know, since I am rehabilitated, I feel very screwed over by Boehner. You know, we were good Tea Partiers.
Right.
And we stuck to our, you know, we had our talking points. We never messed up our talking points. If reporters asked a question, you know, we were thrown under the bus. The Tea Partiers really were. We feel screwed over by Boehner and all the Republicans were embarrassed. And I just want to say I'm from in the independent party now.
Okay.
I don't want to be a Tea Partier anymore. They were thrown under the bus by them. So thank you.
All right, Cheryl, what were your main issues you were concerned about? Just get curious.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. It's just embarrassing to talk about. You know, in the grocery store, you know, you hear people talking politics in line at the store, and people say, oh, why are you a Republican? And I almost say yes, because I used to be, but I have to catch myself, and I'm not a Democrat. I used to be a Republican, but, you know, I'm just, like, independent now because I'm so embarrassed, and it's John Boehner's fault, and they don't care. They're the higher top of the Republican Party. They don't care about the bottom poorer.
Cheryl, trust me, I'm a 47%
Tea Partier. That's what I am.
Right. Well, most of us are, you know, in the 47%.
Right.
Cheryl, I have far more things to be embarrassed of in my life, trust me, than you will ever have. So don't be embarrassed, and thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Aw. Aw. Boner! Now look what you did. Go back in your office.
Ah, shut up.
It's all your fault.
You made a pussy.
You made her a sad panda.
It's just her pussiness that makes her happy.
Okay. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Do it and start it.
Okay, I started the fire.
You did it.
I was drinking smoking cigarettes at the same time.
From what I'm reading, Harry Reid started the fire by throwing Obama's first fiscal cliff proposal into the fireplace.
Oh. Did you hear that story? Wow. Uh-huh. He balled it up and threw in the fireplace.
Yep. Cool.
Wow.
Okay.
Harry Reid's got kind of a set, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I love the when Boehner told him to off, and he's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I don't know if he doesn't know what that means, but... Then Boehner explained it. I said, off.
Yeah, I said it.
All right.
Well, I meant it.
All right.
I'm not entirely sure Harry Reid has ever used that phrase before.
And then he balled up Boehner's balls and threw them in the fire.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I just love any story with the name, with the word cabal in the title. GOP cabal ready to unseat Boehner.
Good.
I love a mystery. Let's see. Washington has long rumbled with reports that conservatives are ready to oust the House Speaker. Now sources told Breitbart, this was yesterday, right? That enough Republicans are ready to do it. The source said at least 20 House Republicans have gotten together, discussed this, and want to unseat Speaker Boehner. Cantor downplayed the rift, and he's so sincere. He tweeted, Majority Leader Cantor stands with Speaker Boehner.
Well, I won't speculation stand next to him, but...
Speculation otherwise is silly, non-productive, and untrue.
Hmm.
Okay. I can't ever remember where I put my lying sack. It's in there somewhere. All right. Okay.
Sack up,
right.
Does that work?
Sure. Sack up, She's fine.
Okay.
John Boehner is a bastard prison, and I hate his ass face. I have no evidence Eric Cantor actually said that.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
No. Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. This is a good new year because yesterday the Republicans exposed themselves for what they are. They've used everything for leverage, even people, innocent people who just happen to live in Democratic states who got hit by a hurricane.
Yep.
Every single thing. I think that that hurricane help was actually, they were trying to tie that to the fiscal cliff in some way. Everything gets tied in.
Yeah.
And that poor lady who was, who used to belong to the Tea Party, I hate to tell her, you were always being used.
Yeah,
You've always been used. Well, they used you
Dick,
forever.
Look at Dick Armey. He takes $8 million. He's like, oh, I couldn't leave with, empty hand.
No, because
I mean, he used all those people like that woman. You're absolutely right.
Sandy. Absolutely.
And he takes an $8 million payout.
Not just their money, but their sincerity, their humanity, the things that made that Tea Party look like human beings were doing something. Those people on the front line, like that lady, made the Tea Party look human.
Right.
Whereas Dick Armey was going off and basically took a golden parachute.
Well, and Cindy, look at what you just mentioned, too, about the disaster relief. I think that Chris Christie obviously didn't feel good about the beating he took, like, for, you know, basically getting blamed for Romney losing, just for trying to do the right thing for his state and work with the president for disaster relief, like any governor has with any president in any disaster ever, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the quote of the day was when Boehner looked at those people in his own party, like Peter King of all people. I mean, there's no one more conservative than that guy.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want to talk to you people.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's because it was New Year's Day, and he didn't get to recover from New Year's Eve and have a little hair of the dog or whatever.
Well, Cindy,
and
you wonder,
all day to recoup.
Right. You wonder if it's part of this theme we've been talking about this morning, about Republicans only seem to understand issues when it happens to them. And because it's Peter King's state, he just now noticed that Republicans tend to act like douche nozzles.
And ass hats.
Yes. That's why I was so happy that they were exposed for what they were, that everyone could see the problem, and that Boehner's been working under some gentleman's agreement called the Hastert rule. He will only bring it for a vote if there's a majority of the majority. Look, when he went against that rule and brought it in, it got voted in.
Yep.
Period.
Yep. Yep.
With no real problem to it.
Yep.
So this is great. I'm real happy to see it.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right,
and I'm sure with the Hastert rule, there involves some kind of pork product.
Right. The Hastert rule, Jim, as you know, involves sausage.
Yeah, of course, there's always going to be a lot of sausage involved. Yeah, so you got to head to Raymond Schneider's house of meat and load up on the servalette and the backwurst
and
the knackwurst.
I can't remember what is Beefy McBratwurst.
Beefy McBratwurst.
That was our nickname for Denny Hastert.
Yeah,
Oh, God, it's been a while since we've talked about Denny Hastert.
Well, he's been out of the news there.
There's been no reason to talk about him.
Schamburg.
I hear he stepped on a bag of vipers.
I was just going to say, now the Hastert rule, John Boehner gets hit with a bag of vipers. By Chris Christie, or he comes up with the disaster relief. Or it gets a bag of glass and solution on its arms again.
You know what's a disaster? When you run out of meat products.
That's a disaster.
You have to turn into a vegetarian. Oh, my God.
When you're at a Taste of Chicago and they're all out of bratwurst. That's a disaster. Okay, I need some relief from that.
Yeah.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour. We're off the rails. We're doing Denny Hastert humor? All right, 29 minutes.
Wow, that's
blast from the past.
Wow. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on
get hit with a bag of kielbasa.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
While other people were out living their lives, I wasted mine watching TV. Because deep down, I knew it might one day help
Stephanie Miller
save the world.
Or Fred Schneider.
Well, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour.
We save Idaho.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
David Shuster coming up.
He's
top of the hour. He is the most. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John in Minnesota. Hey, John, welcome. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hello.
I am John the Angry Butcher in Minnesota.
Oh, hello. Okay. All right.
Continuing the theme from the break.
Right.
Okay, yes.
All right, don't beat your meat.
she should be ashamed to be a Tea Partier. At the same time, she could have joined the Occupy movement.
I mean, why are you letting these people off the hook for being Tea Party members? They're morons.
She said, but honestly, you know, she seemed very good-hearted, you know, yeah. And I think that, you know, Randy Rhodes talks about this. It didn't start, I mean, they got co-opted.
Yeah, they were duped by the
right, by Dick Armey, who wanted to call it a grassroots right. thing and then take $8 million on the way out the door. And, and yeah, they absolutely were had, but we were saying that early on. I think a lot of them, you know, they didn't, their beliefs were sincere,
mm-hmm.
you know, they just
got to respect that. I mean,
yeah, they
know.
Got used by the co-suckers. Sure. Okay, Bobby in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bobby.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I have a question for you
yes.
about this cliff that we all just fell off of.
Yes,
what does that
ouch.
Mean for a retired schmo like me that's living on Social Security and a couple of small pensions?
Is that your scooter? What's what's that noise? Bobby, I don't think it means anything.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm not going to get hit with any kind of tax increase or...
Are you in the top? No. Are you in the top 1%? 2%?
Oh, heck no.
Okay, right. then. You'll be fine.
You're all good. All right. He seems happy about it. Oh, no. All right. Can I have some festive music, please? This is...
festive
this
music?
This story
okay.
made me happy.
All right. This kind of festive
That's
music?
Fine.
Okay.
From Democratic Underground. That crying you hear is the Republican Party. That crunching is Obama eating their lunch.
crunching.
This is a very good synopsis. Yeah. I won't read the whole thing. But he writes, you know, that lost, bewildered look on the faces of the people on Mitt Romney's victory party? There is a whole lot of that look in Washington today. the crying you hear is the Republican Party has just come to the realization they just had their asses handed to them on a plate. This is the new Republican world. They are at an all-time low in unpopularity. Root canals and Republicans loved equally in the U.S., just above chlamydia, I think. They're,
chlamydia.
Chlamydia.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Their united front that has stayed firm from the Reagan era until now just fell apart. The Republican hate for Obama has blinded them. Remember someone said that the day after the election. They're like, everybody we talked to agreed with us and hated Obama, and then we lost.
That's right.
And then they were all just blinky and bewildered
what?
The next day. I don't, what?
Sean Hannity lied to us.
Everyone hated the socialist. What? They have reached this pinnacle of power through carefully hiding their agenda behind propaganda and Fox News.
Yep.
Mitt Romney's going to win in a landslide. You take it to the bank.
President Obama...
It'll be Connie versus Hillary.
Buy my book. President Obama lured them out...
Got lots of pictures in it.
President Obama lured them out into the open with his carefully crafted chess game where he played the weak bird with the broken wing. Flap, flap, look at me, I'm practically a lame duck. Obama lured them out into the open, and in their haste to not get trapped, they managed to trip them up and split their party. Peter King calling for people to no longer donate to Republicans. Cantor working on a coup. The right is ready to eat anyone who broke from the party line. The Speaker of the House has been turned into a laughingstock. He's at the point where, in the White House, he told Reid to go... himself.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a healthy party. For the first time since Reagan, the right voted to raise taxes on the wealthy. This is pretty big, really. Consider Obama has somehow managed to get the right to break on their number one priority. Now what do they stand for?
Yeah. And yet Grover Norquist says, oh, they didn't raise
they didn't.
Taxes
no, they didn't.
On
Look,
anybody.
Over there.
That's hysterical.
They signed a pledge.
Obama, it seems, has one trick up of his sleeve after another. The Republican sleeves are empty of tricks. Talked about the
tricks
this latest...
for kids.
Actually, he's comparing it to the I just shot myself guy on YouTube.
Oh.
He set the same trap twice, talking about the fiscal cliff thing. And the Republicans walked right into it and just shot themselves in the other foot. And WTF, did Obama just manage to get them to agree to shoot themselves again in a few months and we go through this again? My brother used to try to talk me into touching the electric fence when I was a kid. He got me to do it once. He got my less bright cousin to do it twice. Obama just talked them into touching the fence a
yeah.
third time.
There's one thing I learned from Ren and Stimpy. Don't whiz on the electric fence.
There you go,
yep.
right?
Exactly. That could hurt.
No, that's not happy joy time there.
No, it is
no.
not.
Happy
no.
joy, joy. Ow!
Ow!
Happy joy, joy. Happy joy.
Ow! Touch it. No, it won't happen again. Do it.
Okay. Ow! The electric bottle.
My ex's cat made me fall for that several times. You know the whole, no, touch my belly. This time I won't do
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
No, look at me. Oh, come
no,
on, do it.
I'm a good kitty.
Jazz does that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My...
Boots doesn't do that. Jazz
I won't
does.
Do it again. No, touch my stomach this time.
Uh-huh.
It'll be fine.
Look at me. I'm cute.
Yeah.
yeah.
The new Congress will be dealing with immigration. I think Obama is just about ready to cement the immigrant voting bloc as solidly Democratic. But first, he's going to let the Republicans say a whole bunch of nasty things on the record. Didn't he say that he's just going to play the Republican primary on Univision over again?
Yeah.
Anyway, he finishes on Democratic Underground saying the Republicans are crying because they've turned into monsters and they just don't seem to be able to stop themselves no matter what. And in the coming months, they'll be shooting themselves in the foot over and over again. Perhaps that's Obama's game, death from a thousand cuts. But in this case, self-inflicted cuts. Christie certainly jumped into the fray today as he attacked Speaker Boehner in a way I've never seen a governor do to the Speaker. More fracturing in the party. Well, when Chris Christie jumps on you, there's going to be fracturing. Lots of it.
Ow! Any more bourbon?
So... Do what Boehner sounds like again when Christie's sitting on him. I'm sorry. Sorry, I didn't hear you about the disaster relief funds. What'd you say? All right. Bada bing. Sit back, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, our president is winning on some big fronts. Yes, we're giving up some stuff in the process. Not every win feels like a big win, but we continue to bargain from a place of strength. Anyway, Democratic Underground. Crunch, crunch, crunch. The president's eating their lunch. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Oh, look at me. I'm a lame duck. I have a broken wing. Oh, please.
Oh, I can't. Gotcha. Suckers.
Suckers. I bet you did say that.
Yeah.
He just signed it in the Hawaii by AutoPen.
Suckers, suckers.
And then he wrote, suckers. Susie in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to talk about the NRA's plan to guard schools.
Uh-huh.
I think they should hire veterans. They're already trained. They know how to use weapons. Most are unemployed. I think it's a win-win situation. It's better than utilizing Michigan militia right-wing nut job types.
Someone suggested the National Guard. National Guard, Susie. Maybe I have to say I do have a little bit of concern with the amount of post-traumatic stress disorder we have with the multiple tours that our vets have served. And I think you have to look at all sides of this issue, Susie, like the president's talked about. Because I believe me, I understand because I'm not a parent. That you want to do immediately what is going to make sure, protect your kids. So I don't want to say, oh, no, that should be off the table. But I just don't want to introduce more guns and more people
really
that may
do.
Have mental
between
problems.
Between that and training teachers to use weapons, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The whole thing is asinine.
Yeah. Well, no, that's silly. I think everybody thinks that's just silly, arming teachers. But
I don't understand the philosophy behind it, but I think, there's a lot of work. Militia people that are military people that could use some jobs if they're really gung-ho on this, and I mean gung-ho.
The other thing, Susie, look what we just went through with Republicans and this whole cutting spending. It's like, okay, where are you? So you're going to pay for that then, right? And where do you get that money?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, but the NRA seems to be able to garner lots of funds for this. Their stupid right-wing ideas, and I'm thinking, then utilize.
Well, why? Yeah, and why don't they pay for that? Why don't they pay for the guards then? Why doesn't that
exactly.
there would be an idea of coming to the table? We will pay for the armed guards in every school in the country. How about that?
Right. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So.
All right.
Anyway,
all right. Thanks, honey. All right. Let's go to Albert in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Albert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope the Republican behavior since the election has disabused anybody that they're going to become responsible legislators now in the 113th Congress. Today is the first day of the 113th Congress. And
isn't it exciting?
Today is the day that the Senate can change the rules and reform the filibuster. But all talk of reforming the filibuster has ended as of 2 weeks ago. I haven't heard anything about it. Have you?
I have not either. I don't know what's, we should, some people talk about it and it comes up, but I we had Rob Reiner talk about this.
Right.
And it really is something we should, I think they should address because it's just... I don't see this. I mean, this new makeup is better of this Congress, but I don't see it getting much better. And I think that's why they're saying the president made the deal he did, because he didn't see really any more cooperation happening with the new Congress than the old one.
Yeah.
Now, at least not because we were saying because of gerrymandering, not enough votes wise to be able to have an effect.
Plenty of people voted Democratic, just because
yes,
of gerrymandering.
About a million more. Yeah. A million more people voted for Democrats for Congress even than Republicans. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, what? It's just the holiday gifts just keep on coming even after the holidays. What now? Tom DeLay sentenced to 3 years in prison? Oh, no. Former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay was sentenced to 3 years in prison Monday for a scheme to influence elections that already cost him his job. Leadership posted millions of dollars in legal fees. I wonder if he's going to be drinking at Barfi's Bar and Grill with the John Boner.
I think I caught John Boner. I hold my hand in the fire in prison. That's the truth.
I'm in my own
folly.
You are.
You shouldn't mix Jägermeister
anything.
With Southern Comfort.
No.
Trust me, it doesn't work out for us.
That is the truth.
That's the truth.
You should not mix Jägermeister with Southern Comfort.
Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11.
Southern Comfort.
In the effects
and Midori.
In the attacks Midori. And prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments. And offer therapeutic understanding for our attackers. That's not slander. That's the truth.
That's the truth.
I think they're going to have a little farewell liquid lunch at Barfi's Bar and Grill.
I think you're correct.
The Boner and Tom DeLay before he goes into the hole.
The who's gal?
Into the pokey.
The stripey hole.
Now, we're just bringing back all of the old hits today, aren't we?
Why do I hope the judge? Well, it's in the news.
Hey, where's the bar in this joint? Why is the bar?
I hope the judge can say into the pokey with you.
It's back to the body place.
Oh, well, that took time, but see? Justice.
How long ago was...
The arc of justice is
really long.
But it always bends toward...
Something.
Right.
Water?
No.
Oh.
Tom going to prison.
Melon-flavored liquor always wrong. By the way, now that you brought up Midori.
And you did bring up quite a bit of Midori.
Yes, you did.
No, that was a grasshopper's.
Grasshopper's made with creme de menthe.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Splat.
And cream.
It was in college. Although, you know what? I bet they still never got that off the 405, because that was heavy.
It's still there. There's still a green splat.
What do you use for...
It's caused whole sections of the 405 to collapse.
So that's why we had Carmageddon. They had to replace that section of roadway.
It's my grasshopper bar. Richard in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Good morning. I'm a Republican, and I do not find any shame in saying that I'm a Republican. I look at what we're doing right now as a Republican Party and seeing a party maturing and a party finding its legs.
Really?
Finding it, you know, finding, yes, I do. I don't.
How is the Republican Party maturing?
Yeah, it's pretty old.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a party of transition, and that's what you hear from the Democrats.
Oh, is that what's happening? They're transitioning to the Whigs.
It's a party of euphemism.
Now, I understand character assassination and Alinsky tactics and all that stuff, and I know that
Alinsky.
I know how it works.
Saul Alinsky taught me how to do this Foley work.
Yeah.
Well, whether or not you can admit to that, that's another thing altogether. But how you're conditioned.
Okay.
We
base our lives on the teachings of Saul Alinsky.
Exactly.
Well, listen to
Chicago know who that
politics.
Is.
The entire, I know your listeners probably don't understand that, and they probably don't understand gentrification either. But I mean, if you look at Illinois.
Ooh, that's a pretty big word.
No, you know what? Our listeners understand gentrification because you know who does gentrification? The gays.
The Democrats in Chicago.
Look at the history. The Democratic Party in Chicago.
Right.
That's who's input into the look. That's the problem is you cannot have a debate without you immediately whipping it into some kind of a character assassination. Like, our side is completely stupid and ignorant.
Well,
you look at
we base that on your comments.
No, my comments come from an academic background.
Oh, you're an academic.
And gentrification.
Well, I mean, an
I thought Republicans hated academics.
Well, most of them make it through college just fine. Most of them are lawyers, doctors.
So, all right, Richard, honestly, seriously now, is this what a party looks like when it's transitioning?
Yes.
Really? What are they transitioning to?
Wasn't it just, 15 years ago that the Democratic Party was self-destructing and imploding and all this stuff?
Yes.
No, that was during the Clinton administration, and the Democratic Party was just fine.
What do Republicans stand for now? What are they transitioning to?
Well, let's take what happened with Christie in New Jersey.
Okay.
The bill that he wanted passed, was it not full of other things?
No. No, actually, that had been, but that's what Daryl Issa said. No, but that most of that had been pulled out.
Okay, then I'll look into that. I won't just believe what Christie says or believe what the right-wingers say, and I'll look into that. Now, your listenership,
You had lost your house in Sandy, do you think that you'd be a little offended by somebody calling it pork and they're not going to vote for it now?
It's going to be back up for a vote this week, is it not?
Yes, tomorrow.
Did
but only because they got speaker, only because they got shamed into it.
The speaker of the no, the
yes.
speaker of the house. You know, this is a two-party system, and I wish it was four or five parties because I don't want corporations running.
Well, there
my
are
life.
Four or five parties. They're just all in the Republican Party right now.
I don't want corporations running my life, so I'm not the caricature that you guys paint us to be, and I do not want people like the state senate in Illinois. Going to tell me how I'm going to live my life like a Chicagoan out here way west in the suburbs.
How are they telling you how to live your life?
Look at what they're doing with the draconian gun laws in Illinois. A few tiny people in Chicago that can't even take care of their own house are going to tell people in the entire state, and we are a big state,
for sure,
how to run our lives.
But most people live in Chicago.
Let's look at New York, for instance. Obviously, the gun laws there, the Bloomberg is inactive, they've worked. There's a lot less gun violence. Is that not a good outcome?
Yes. And is there gun violence in Texas, like there is in downtown Chicago and the south and west side of Chicago?
There's gun violence. Yeah, there's gun violence in Texas. There's a hell of a lot of gun violence in Texas.
There's far more gun violence in Chicago, Illinois. Far more.
There are far more people in Chicago than there are in Waco.
Oh, come on now. I mean, it's
what do you mean, come on now?
Come
Chicago's
on now,
the third largest city
what
in the country.
What are you saying? Chicago's a big city?
A lot of people live there. So
okay,
what's
your
point?
You're counting, right? Because you believe in gentrifying.
That's because I'm an academic. You're damn right I believe in gentrifying.
You're damn right I like red room.
Joe in Arizona. Hi, Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Oh, Joe's Hello, talking Jim. To somebody else.
Yes, he's talking to
obviously less important than me. Okay, Chuck in Seattle. Hi, Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, guess what? I just got off the phone with Harry Reid's office.
Uh-huh.
And they're not really sure if they want to do this filibuster reform thing or not, and they need a little more convincing. So any of your live listeners should call and talk to the senators and talk to Harry Reid's office.
Oh, live, people listening live. Okay,
okay
you mean people that are alive. Okay,
dead listeners. Our dead listeners nothing to
they're kind of useless.
Yes.
I want those flying
no offense to them.
No.
Have to climb out and actually have to say what they're for and stop hiding behind anonymously what they do there. So.
Okay. Did you actually called Harry Reid's office?
Yep, the lines are wide open, and you can talk to them now.
Wow.
Okay, all right. Did they answer the phone? I'm sorry.
It's kind of a busy day there on Capitol Hill.
Senator Reid's not available. He's busy. Off.
He took Boner's advice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He took his advice to off. That's what the senator's currently doing. All right.
Mrs. Reid is very happy.
He'll be right back with you. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. David Schuster next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine.
the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Oh, I know I'm a political geek, but I'm just all a tingle. It's almost time for the new Congress in less than an hour. Jackie and I were just saying it's like our first prom. Speaking of dates, I'm always nervous on OS.
Let his peace be him.
I hope he calls.
Oh, dear God, it must be him.
Oh, with the dreamy blue eyes.
For Current TV, our good friend, David Schuster.
As if Tuesday isn't exciting enough, David Schuster coming up.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
Good morning, David Schuster.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Always a thrill and a pleasure, sir. Yes, I'm all a tingle about the new Congress. I'm sure everything's going to be different now, right?
Oh, yeah, everything's going to be different. You know, I got to say, though, the start of this Congress is going to be fun. I mean, it has, the way they do this, the first thing they do is they have a vote for the speaker. And they have it's a roll call vote. It's not one of these electronic things. They each have to, each individual member gets asked whether they support the speaker, whether they want to vote for him or not. And there is a good chance, I think there's a very good chance that we will see for the first time in 90 years, we will see a second ballot. Because all it would take, all the Democrats, of course, are going to vote against John Boehner because they want a Democrat to be Speaker. If
right.
16 conservative members of the Republican caucus peel off, then Boehner's got to go through a second ballot. And wouldn't that be fun?
Wow. Well, I was reading a story today with the headline Cabal in it, that there are 20 Republicans that have actively been talking about unseating him.
Yeah, and I gotta believe one of them who's sort of quietly plotting behind the scenes is Eric Cantor. You gotta wonder if that.
Why would you suspect him, David?
Oh, yeah, why would I suspect him? Well, the thing is, I think Chris Christie, though, gave away the game plan. I mean, I don't think Eric Cantor, I don't think he counted on Chris Christie after telling Chris Christie, hey, it's John Boehner's fault he couldn't get a vote on Sandy Relief Aid. I don't think he quite expected that Chris Christie would then turn around and go right to the cameras
right.
and sell out Cantor. So it's sort of, the Republicans are just eating themselves alive, and
yep.
I think it's fun for everybody to watch.
Yeah. Hey, David, I think you're going to have to call us back because this connection's really bad. Would you mind just hanging up and dialing back?
I will hang up, but I'll call you right back.
Call me right back. All right, love you. Call me. See, and he's a guy that means it when he says it. He means it when he says he'll call me back.
As opposed to your high school boyfriend when he saw you in your perm.
Oh, dear. Listen, if you saw that perm, you wouldn't have either. I remember I was on the high school badminton team, and in the picture for my yearbook,
team?
My hair is like 6 times larger than my badminton racket.
Was it humid that day or something?
No. Just my hair.
Oh, God.
It's your Jackie Brown face.
Yeah.
Just my own perm.
Oh, God.
Paul in Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. I don't know why you guys are so happy. This deal, we just got our clocks cleaned. We cleaned our own clocks.
We did. How so?
Well, we just made 99% of the Bush tax cuts permanent. We've limited our revenue stream to $600 billion over 10 years. It's not $1.6 trillion like the president wanted. It's not even $800 billion like Boehner offered.
Right, but I think
guess what else? Guess what else? Everything else is limited. We
right.
got a five-year limit.
Okay.
Let me finish.
All right. No, I can't because David Schuster's back. But anyway, I think as the president said, at least the last Congress, I mean, we're going to have to do this in steps.
Right.
Clearly. That's all we could, hope for. Hey, David Schuster.
Wow. I don't want to be accused of you not letting that guy finish stuff.
Because of David Schuster.
you had a good point, and I agree with him. I think President Obama is a horrible negotiator, and he proved it yet again. And I think at a certain point, Democrats, I think a lot of Democrats are pulling their hair out, thinking this guy just won re-election. Why, he had all the political leverage in the world if he let this thing play out. Why not hold firm to your plan of okay, $250,000 and your taxes are going up? I just, I don't quite get.
What?
I think President is scared. I think he's something of a wuss.
Well, David Schuster, now see, you've gone and ruined our romance. It's interesting. I think it's interesting the different takes on it, David. I hear you, and I know that, some in the progressive side feel that way. I was just reading a piece in Democratic Underground today, though, where, a lot of people feel the opposite, even on the progressive side, that the Republicans got their ass handed to them on this. Well, I mean, Republicans certainly aren't happy with it, are they?
Well, no, the Republicans are happy, but the Republicans, I think, are going to be happier 2 or 3 months from now, because what the Democrats have just done is, if you look at this, you know, I think, look, I agree, President Obama won the battle, but I think he may have lost the war, because we're going to have to go see, he has lost all the leverage now as far as dealing with the debt ceiling and dealing with spending cuts. I mean, the president took, you know, the Democrats were able to take Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid cuts off the table this time. They will be on the table 2 months from now regarding the debt ceiling, and this time around, the Democrats have no leverage to protect them. So people who were worried about, oh my God, there might be some Social Security cuts in this round of negotiations, well, this is nothing compared to what I think, you know, Democrats are going to be staring up and looking at 2 months from now. And I think my point, and I think maybe the callers as well, is that some of this could have been avoided if the president held a little bit stronger and firm now, rather than, you know, pissing away all the leverage that he had on this round of negotiations. He's lost it for the next round. And
David, do you really think, I think what the White House, you know, said is that this Congress that's going to take office in what, 45 minutes from now, do you really think he was going to get more cooperation from them?
Well, I think he could have gotten more. I think the president could have gotten more out of this deal. And my question to the White House is, okay, well, what leverage do you have now for the next time that the Republicans take, you know, a whole part of the country hostage, specifically on the debt ceiling? I mean, the Republicans are going to hold the debt hostage, this raising the debt ceiling, and the cost of it next time around is going to be pretty dramatic cuts to entitlement programs. And I just think, you know, and right now, looking at those negotiations, the Democrats now have no way of protecting themselves on that. They don't have any leverage as far as staving this stuff off.
You know, Pat Toomey, the Republican of Pennsylvania, he just said this yesterday, that he basically called for a government shutdown. He said, we need to be willing to tolerate a temporary partial government shutdown. So, you know, they're going to do this again. The president has said he's not going to do that again. How do you feel like that's going to play out, though? I mean, do you think the American people are going to tolerate the Republicans saying we're going to default on our debt again?
Well, except that the next time around, the question will be, okay, you either default on the debt or you cut government spending. The issue of taxes and whether, you know, the whole issue of taxing the rich and whatnot is off the table. So I think when Americans are presented with the question of, okay, either the government, it's fine to sort of blame the Republicans now because they're unwilling, because they're trying to protect the wealthy. And that's what I think why the Republicans back down, because they don't like the optics of being said, of them being accused that they were willing to shut down the government and cause financial chaos in order to protect the wealthy. When the equation then becomes, well, are they willing to, you know, shut down the government and cause economic chaos over government spending, I think that's better terrain for them, because I think a lot of Americans would look at that debate and say, well, of course, you know, if it's government spending that's standing in the way and it's maybe causing, you know, Republicans to cause financial chaos, then of course the Democrats should give in and agree to some government spending. We all think that the government should be smaller, and that's how the mantra is going to go. And I think at that point, Democrats are going to, you know, realize that they no longer have a flank protecting them, and then you're going to see the programs that Democrats have always stood for proudly, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, are going to be on the chopping block. And I just, you know, I think Democrats who are right now celebrating, fine, celebrate the battle, but I don't see how Democrats win the war.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you look at people, I'm looking at tweets from Donald Trump, for God's sake, saying the Republicans may be the worst negotiators in history. He said, Obama, the Democrats are laughing at the deal they just made. The Republicans got nothing. I'm a Republican. Republicans may be the worst negotiators in history.
Well, so far, they've got nothing, but
right.
At least them around.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing, though. I mean, the person who really scares me all of this is Mitch McConnell. I mean, John Boehner and Eric Cantor, I mean, there's total chaos in the House side. And I think, you know, Democrats might be okay if this was completely left up to the House Republicans. Democrats might be able to get themselves through this over the next couple of months and be fine. I'm concerned about Mitch McConnell now has all kinds of leverage and has all sorts of credibility on the Republican side. Well, I think Mitch McConnell sort of is taking the long view. I think a lot of Republicans, Donald Trump and others, even some who want to derail John Boehner, I think maybe taking something of the short view. Yet, yeah, Republicans got killed in this round of negotiations, just as I think you could argue President Obama got killed in the last one a year and a half ago when he got nothing for raising the debt ceiling. Well, now we've got the rubber match coming up in 2 months, and I'm just a little worried that Democrats, all the sort of protective issues, all the things that might have helped them with some leverage 2 months from now are now gone, and there you've got Mitch McConnell saying, okay, here we go, you're going to cut government spending or else it's going to be your fault that we provoke economic chaos by not raising the debt ceiling. And I think,
I was just going to say, but I think it can't be underestimated how huge it is that Republicans had to vote in mass for tax increases on the rich. I mean, you know, that's a stranglehold that I don't care what Grover Norquist says, that, oh, no, they didn't vote for. Yes, they did. right?
Well, look, it's a major change in Republican philosophy, and for the first time, since 1990, Republicans have agreed to raising taxes. So, yes, that is a huge deal. But is it, you know, are we going to be looking at, for the first time in 20-some years, Democrats having to make major cuts in entitlement programs 2 months from now? And that's where I'm a little bit sort of worried.
Right.
The question people have to ask is, what's more important, you know, raising taxes on the wealthy or cutting government spending? I think we're going to end up having both. My point is that I think President Obama could have gotten, you know, raising taxes on the wealthy. That's a pretty compelling argument. And he could have gotten raising taxes on the wealthy without having to agree, as I think he's going to have to agree 2 months from now, to cutting government spending.
Mm-hmm. David, the Hurricane Sandy relief stuff, I mean, I think is striking, too, though, is just that laid bare, as a lot of Republicans pointed out, like Chris Christie and Peter King, that the Republicans are just, they're in complete disarray, and it's not even the things that you did not used to even be a partisan issue, right? Disaster relief, the debt ceiling, are now a partisan, issue in this Republican Congress, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it gets to the dysfunction. The Republicans not only have a leadership dysfunction on the House, I think it's sort of an information dysfunction. I think there were some conservative media, Rush Limbaugh and parts of Fox News, who said, oh, the Sandy relief bill is full of pork. And it's got all sorts of things that have nothing to do with Hurricane Sandy relief. And so all of a sudden, John Boehner and perhaps others in the Republican leadership, they hear this stuff and they start to believe it. And they become convinced that, oh, you know, the right optics to view these issues is through the prism of conservative media. Well, all of a sudden, then they follow conservative media, as they did during the election, and they get killed. And, you know, then you have common sense Republicans who say, no, Fox News is wrong. Rush Limbaugh is wrong. Most of the hurricane relief would have gone directly to people who need it right now. How could you not schedule a vote, especially after the Senate has already given you cover for whatever pork might be in there, because the Senate overwhelmingly passed the hurricane relief bill? Why, what is keeping the House from doing so? And all of a sudden, John Boehner looks up and is sort of dumbfounded by the reaction that he's getting. And all those people at Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and all the conservative radio who are talking about the pork, well, they don't want to talk about that now because they see that the country is aghast over what's happened with it.
Yeah.
So there's John Boehner all alone.
We're going to end on the word aghast, because
yes.
I love that. Country's aghast. David Schuster, most interesting man in the world. Thank you, honey. A pleasure as always.
Thanks, Stephanie. Take care. We'll talk to you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Here we go.
Yay.
All right.
Of We Act Radio. That's where he...
Thank you. Exactly.
From.
Pardon me.
Yes.
Yes. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Last it all.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. You don't believe children of the future, right? Well,
I believe the children are our future.
Particularly Laura. Yeah, Laura from who writes from Cleveland. Actually, her nickname. Wait, Kat. I'm sorry. It's Laura's daughter, Kat.
Oh.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Dear, subject line, you are my role model. Oh, yikes. That could not end well.
Oh.
Dear Stephanie Miller.
Don't start drinking grasshoppers.
Right. Don't.
No.
Don't, Kat. My name is Kat from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm 12 and in the 7th grade. My mom has your podcast. We were listening before vacation,
mm-hmm.
when all the Fox and Freaks came out of the woodwork telling you to kill yourself. Oh, that was after. Who can remember what that was after?
I remember what that was after.
Oh, I made Sean Hannity's liberal hate speech.
Oh, that's right.
Thing.
Like 2 weeks in a row.
Right? It truly made me depressed. I don't know why people have to be so mean to you because of your political beliefs. Yeah, Kat. Ever since I was 4, I've listened to you and you've made me want to run for political office.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
While their crazy viewers threaten to kill you in the most violent and illogical ways possible. Oh, that's true. There were a few illogical plots to kill me. They don't make a lot of sense.
No.
Fortunately for me. Oh, I know. It was the person that suggested, remember that I shoot myself and then kill someone else, which I can't remember how that...
Oh, yeah.
Right. I can't remember what
no,
it was.
Kill your... Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, no, kill myself and hide the gun.
Yes, that was it.
Which is difficult.
Difficult because you're...
Dead.
Dead.
It makes me sick. We are so lucky to have someone like you. Kat from Cleveland.
That's adorbs.
Thank you, Kat.
That is totes adorbs.
It's totes adorbs, and I hope she has run for president. All right. Some listener comedy from, Stephen in Chicago. Steph, I think this is a little, he's engaging in a little hyperbole, I think.
Okay.
Steph, I think the school should be surrounded with landmines and barbed wire and a moat with alligators and a 20-foot brick wall with shards of glass embedded in it and 1,000 mouse traps all around the playground, and all the kids should be issued school uniforms and helmets made out of Kevlar, and in the drop ceilings there should be 1 billion semi-automatic weapons so that in the event of a gunman entering the building, they will drop them to the ceiling like the ping pong balls on Captain Kangaroo, giving every child and teacher access to 1,000 life-saving God-sanctioned weapons with magic bullets that will zip around of the innocent and only hit the bad guy. If you object to this completely sane, logical plan, you must not want to protect art.
Why do you hate the children?
Right.
But does the
also,
moat
bags
he's
of vipers?
Thinking of,
yeah. And sharks with freaking
right.
laser beams
bags
on their heads.
Of vipers.
But does the moat have alligators rising up on their hind legs, chewing up baby children?
Chewing up. Well, that would defeat the purpose, wouldn't
right.
it?
Yes.
Particularly if they were wearing bowler hats.
Yeah. Like Wally Gator.
Don in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, the reason I called is the Republicans are always talking about how they're anti-tax. Well, the only thing I can say is that they're anti-tax as far as if you're a rich man. But if you're a run-of-the-mill worker somewhere, I'm sorry, they're not anti-tax because, like, Michigan, we never used to have a state income tax on the retirees.
Right.
Once we got a Republican governor, we have mm-hmm. one now.
Yep.
I mean, you know, the average retiree, he doesn't get that big of retirement to begin with, and there goes $100 a month out of it.
Yeah.
And also, as far as, like, you were talking about pork barrel stuff in the
right.
in the bills, and, you know, from the time I was in high school, I never could see that. It seems to me that if a bill is going to be over, say, X amount of dollars, you know, I don't know what limit they put on, but say $2 million. Okay, then that's the only thing that can be in that bill. You know, why, you know, the reason they don't do it that way is so they can get in all this pork. And, I mean, you know, these congressmen and senators, well, they need to work harder anyhow, let's face it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I mean, you know, if they just change a few rules, they could do a much better job because, I mean, that way they wouldn't be able to slide this stuff in there that doesn't really, you know, matter.
Yeah, exactly. All right, honey, thank you. I love this
tax
one.
The poor. It just makes sense.
Exactly. It only makes sense. That's where all the money is.
Sure. They're welfare queens and Cadillacs.
Right. I love this story. Our old friend, Bat Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, yeah.
She slammed President Obama for bringing unnecessary drama.
Oh, no.
By approving a congressional pay raise in the midst of the fiscal cliff fight.
Marcus is in charge of unnecessary drama.
Exactly. That's why she's mad.
Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing
all
but
right.
me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look you in this hat?
Okay. See, and he went there before I even went there.
Yeah.
You got there first. Okay. Brent in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show real quick. Hi, Burrow. Hello, Brent.
Hey, Seb. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Being we're talking about the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, and, of course, he's opposed to spending, so I think he should step up and call for a pay freeze in the House. And they should maintain that pay freeze until
they're... How about we put them on merit pay?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
How much do you think they'd be making? 29 minutes after the hour. Oh, Jackie Shatner joins us from the Current News Center next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My name is
Stephanie Miller.
I am a very famous minor television personality.
Wow, your face really changed.
About to get more minor. Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Yay! There's only one happy thing.
Hello, world, in the news that's ringing. Come on, get Jackie.
Yeah, that was a little weird. We were just talking on the phone before, and you're like, you were watching me on TV talking to you on the phone.
Yeah, I have a monitor that's a little bit ahead of the broadcast. I was like, oh, look at that. You're talking to me on the phone. Maybe you should get back to your show.
This is my show. It's all one seamless, magical thing.
It's very low-tech FaceTime is what we have.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
You heard what David Schuster said. It's interesting, isn't it, about everybody has a different take on what just happened with these fiscal cliff negotiations?
Yeah, I mean, it was during our time off, which
right.
I guess for us kind of news dorks, there's not really all that much time off.
Right.
But I did take a moment on New Year's Day and said, okay, let me just wrap my brain around what just happened here, because I'm not so sure I have all the nuggets correct. And then we sort of figured it all out.
Right.
But I think it's how you interpret it. I mean, Mitch McConnell wrote an op-ed in Yahoo News saying, now the tax conversation is over. Whether the president likes it or not, we're not talking taxes anymore. Now we're just going to talk spending cuts.
Uh-huh.
Because clearly Mitch McConnell calls the shots.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see where we land. I mean, I don't really know what to think. I mean, it's a very difficult thing to interpret because, you know, coming off of the healthcare fight, there was a lot of thought that perhaps the White House had sold us out a little bit. And I don't know if people feel that way with regard to catering to the Republican demands a little bit on raising that $250,000 limit.
Right.
I just don't know. I'm not entirely sure I figured it out yet.
Well, you know, I just feel like they seem to have one PR disaster after another. Even the Republicans seem to be most upset about the fiscal cliff thing, and now this Sandy thing is just...
Well, that's ridiculous.
It's just a disaster, right?
That is ridiculous. I mean, I don't know how you call off the session without dealing with an aid package. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. I know the argument was that they didn't want to deal with another spending issue right on the heels of the fiscal cliff, but I mean, I just don't know how you do it. And now, of course, they're going to have to address it. They're going to have a vote tomorrow. So
yeah. Well, it's not like it's a timely matter or anything. It's not like if you don't have a roof or anything in the winter in the East, that's a problem of any kind.
Yeah, those New York and New Jersey people are just so demanding. I mean...
Yeah, exactly.
It's not chilly or anything.
Exactly. So the next thing the president's been talking about is immigration reform.
Yeah.
He reiterated his call for comprehensive immigration reform during an interview on Meet the Press.
Mm-hmm.
I know we were on vacation. Normally, Jackie, you and I text each other during Meet the Press. So I was a little discombobulated.
I will admit, I took some time off from being a total junkie and actually got out of the house. I went to the movies.
Me too. Well, I needed a separation from David Gregory anyway, as you know. I needed a little distance, a little space. I emerged
from my news cocoon. It was refreshing.
Yeah. Same here, Jackie.
Yes, exactly.
To be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
Anyway, he claims it's going to be a top goal in his second term. He said, fixing our broken immigration system is a top priority. I will introduce legislation in the first year to get that done. And administration officials have hinted he will begin an all-out drive for comprehensive immigration reform, including a path to citizenship.
Gun control is the other top priority that we're hearing about, of course. I mean, obviously that's going to continue over, but those were the two that we're hearing immigration. And then gun control.
Right. But I mean, how is that going to play out, do you think? I mean, because I just feel like the optics have changed, not only with the huge win in the Latino vote that, you know, the president just achieved in this election, but I mean, now in the wake of Newtown, I just think the optics are changing on some of these issues that we thought were done deals, right?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with immigration just in terms of the Republicans who decided after the last election that perhaps they need to be a little more inclusive and they need to tackle some things like immigration reform because they're not gonna garner any votes from anybody outside of sort of the older white demographic if they don't deal with some of these more diverse issues. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in terms of policy. Because remember, right after the election, all these Republicans came out and said, okay, we got to deal with immigration. So I think that it'll be interesting to see how that changes the negotiation tactic. But I don't know.
It's once again, I feel like, you know, it's this theme this morning, Jackie, that this version of the Republican Party only seems to do the right thing when they have to, not because it's the right thing, whether it's, disaster relief or whether it's immigration. I mean, and they say it out loud. Like, yeah. We may have to do immigration, because we lost the Latino vote. It's like, yeah. You're not supposed to say that part.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, you know, we love you women. It doesn't
right.
mean that you're on the, in the right place on women's issues. You know, right. you can't just scream I love you and expect women to come around to your
don't we know it, sister.
But it's that same concept, right? It's the idea that you pay lip service to something that you don't fundamentally believe or stand for,
right.
and then somehow expect the electorate to believe you.
Yep.
Who knows? Maybe they are at a tipping point. Maybe there is a time now to say, okay, there's so much dissension in the ranks, we've got to do something and make some progress. I'm not optimistic because I've just soured on the way the Hill works at this point,
mm-hmm.
but maybe
mm-hmm.
with this new class we can get some movement. That would be nice.
Oh, I'm sure they're an entirely different breed altogether. I love this. Obama's pollster, this was a recent story. Republicans have a tolerance problem. Do you think? You need polling for that? But he says the Republican challenge goes beyond the Latino vote, extending to anyone who isn't white and thinks differently from party orthodoxy. He's talking about the actual numbers, which is pretty stunning. 27% to Obama's 71%. That's what Romney won. In Latino voters. He said the Republican Party has a tolerance problem. I think when you define people who look differently than you as illegal aliens and use that term over and over again and talk about self-deporting them, that's a tolerance issue. I mean, isn't that part of it? It's the way they talk about people that they don't, and they don't even seem to get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard. I mean, because you don't want to make generalizations about an entire political party, right? Because that's not necessarily a fair thing to do. But it sure certainly seems to be that the majority of the Republican Party tends to be, I'm going to get myself into trouble here, tends to be a little more on the exclusive side when it comes to its racial and ethnic makeup,
right.
perhaps.
Well, a lot of it, people were they're talking about the Asian vote, that he also won hugely among Asians. And, you know, so they were trying to...
And African-Americans
right.
and young people. And, I mean, it's anybody who's not older and white.
Right.
I mean,
the pollster said when you call people who believe in global warming job killers, you have a tolerance problem. When you want to deny gay people who want to make a lifetime commitment to each other, just as their parents did because they want to spend a life together, you want to deny them that life aspiration, you have a tolerance problem. So that's what he's saying. It's more of a general tolerance problem.
Well, yeah, and it's unfortunate that defines an entire political party. I mean, it would be nice if there could be disagreement on policy based on facts and not a disagreement based on sort of fundamental principles that on one side tend to be more moral and inclusive than the other.
And I think, you know, generationally is what he ended by saying is that's their biggest problem, right?
Yeah.
Voters under 40, is they're just – because that's what they're saying. How do you redefine yourself in almost half the electorate? I don't know if you heard – we had this right-wing caller on earlier that was saying, oh, no, we're transitioning. We're fine
yeah,
in the Republican
yeah.
Party. We're a party in transition.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of – I mean, I have some friends who tend to be conservative or Republican, and the ones that I'm friends with are very reasonable about the reasons why they're Republican or conservative, depending on how they define themselves. But it tends to be a lot of fiscal policy. You know, it tends to be more financial, and they tend to be more open-minded on social issues.
Yeah.
And I think maybe there's a redefinition of the Republican Party in that vein, just because as we evolve, I mean, we're more tolerant of social issues just growing up. I mean, we talk about gay marriage, or we talk about, you know, more comprehensive immigration policy, or just things that we've grown up with that seem very normal to us.
Yeah.
As opposed to older generations who just aren't used to change the same way we are.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's just you can almost every other day pick up a headline like this. A Mississippi conservative calls for putting gay people to death on his Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's things like that. A tolerance problem, do you think?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand how you move the country forward with a total backwards-looking philosophy.
He quoted the wildly popular Leviticus. Which is quite selective.
Sure.
And it's, you know.
It's so modern.
Have you ever heard anyone respond to that when you go, well, okay, but Leviticus also says you need to kill people that eat shrimp and blah, blah, blah.
And mix fabrics.
Right,
and
they just kind of go, la, la, la.
Yeah, cut the hair at the temple, tattoo their bodies.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
This is all out of my realm of expertise.
Yeah.
I am not religiously inclined.
He responded, by the way, there was a bit of criticism. You know how oversensitive people are. And he said, to be clear, I want the world to know that I do not, cannot, and will not apologize for the inspired truth of God's word.
Do you know who else uses Facebook to communicate so profoundly?
Who?
Hitler?
Sarah Palin.
Hitler?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Kim Kardashian.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sarah Palin. You're absolutely right. Jim, that is not the answer to every question.
Right. I don't think Hitler has a Facebook page.
No.
Twitler does.
Well, it's in black and white.
Twitler.
Yes,
Twitler.
Twitler. Yes.
He does have a Twitter. Have you seen that, Jackie?
No, I have not.
Well, because you're still, we got you stuck on cats who look like Hitler.
Here's a picture of me shaking Jesse Owens' hand. Psych!
Yes, we got you stuck on cats who look like Hitler, and you've completely missed
No, my latest obsession is the modern Seinfeld. Have you seen that one?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's what Seinfeld plots would be if Seinfeld were still
tweeting.
If there were still new episodes today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what the episode plots would be. It's at modern Seinfeld. It's hysterical. Or
awesome.
Seinfeld today. Yeah, that's my new obsession.
You know that you're my BFF and everything, but I have to drop you for a bigger name because Road Flare Mary's on the phone.
Oh, wow.
Oh, goodness. I can't compete with that.
I still love you, though.
I could get gravelly, but I can't compete with that.
Love you, Jackie Shuck.
I love you guys,
all right,
too.
Honey. Bye. What? You lost her jingle?
Oh, here it is.
Oh, for God's sakes. All
and
right.
Now, on the phone from Chicago.
Hold on, everybody. It's Rosemary.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Hello. Happy New Year, Mary.
Happy New Year.
Okay. What's up this morning?
I just had a comment. You talk about immigration.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is that most of these people don't get. Illegal means illegal. You know, come to this country legally, like my ancestors did through Ellis Island. What is it you people don't get? Why? Because,
so by you people, you're not referring to your people.
He wants the Latino vote because what are they? Because they're most of the population?
Mm.
Is that what it is?
Well, no, because he doesn't refer to them as you people.
Yeah.
That's probably...
And most of...
Well, you know what?
You know,
maybe if you were...
Where did your people come from?
Doors with them, maybe would.
If I did what?
Okay, maybe if you were in a closed room with him, he would.
If I were in
you
a closed
room... You
don't
know what goes on in his mind.
Oh, if I were in a closed room with the president. Okay.
Mary, are
where
you okay?
Where did your people come from?
Well, you know what? That's my business.
Oh, all right.
Well, okay. I'm just trying to make conversation,
Mary.
Awfully
oversensitive for old friends.
Well, I'm not oversensitive because if I say it, you people just make fun out of it.
See, now I'm a you people, and I'm legal.
Okay,
why am I a you people?
But that's what you do.
But why are you so divisive when we're trying to be uniters here?
Because all you do, you got one viewpoint, which we already know,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the anointed one. And you know what?
You're a Sean Hannity viewer, aren't you?
No, you blame the Republicans when, who's the leader or the supposedly leader of this country with, as far as the hurricane victims? Why don't he sign the bill?
Because Congress needs to. That's
no,
Congress
no, no,
needs
no, no.
To pass
the bill.
Needs to
Congress
sign
needs
the bill.
To pass
well,
the bill.
You know what?
And then the
he
president signs
be
it.
A leader, like he did with the Spanish.
So he's not leading in that he has no.
Before that, he was going to.
You know,
make
she
all
doesn't,
the,
there's a constitution.
All these illegals,
you know.
You know, they could vote and this and that.
Co-equal branches.
No, people who are here illegally cannot vote. They cannot register to vote.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that why there were 6-hour lines?
No, the reason there were 6-hour lines is that the Republicans were trying to shut it down. They were disenfranchising.
Wrong.
Yes.
Oh.
Wrong.
Oh, is that why the president won? Was it entirely illegals that were voting?
Well, you know what? I'm not even going to go there.
Well, you brought it up.
If you people were smart,
you people.
You would know how this country runs.
Well,
no. Apparently
well,
you don't.
How come you people lost the election?
Apparently
you think the president is a king.
And passes legislation.
He's not the king of Africa.
Oh.
Pardon me? He's what?
Not the king of Africa.
He does have a statue.
The president has a statue?
Okay. In Africa, sure.
Oh, in Africa.
Mm.
Yeah.
I hear
it's a country with a lot of diseases, according to George Bush.
What's the matter with having a statue in Africa?
Fine.
Why did you bring it up in a pejorative sense?
Well, you're the one that just said, I believe he's a king.
No,
right,
you...
Right, well, because you implied that he could just pass the bill himself
right.
for disaster.
Well,
the government doesn't work that way.
Country? Isn't that why he's the so-called president? Isn't that how it
Well,
works?
He is the, not the so-called president, he is the president.
How it works?
He was elected twice.
Really, Really? Isn't that how it works?
No.
No. You don't
understand.
Government.
Well,
it
the good news is at least he's not back in Chicago in an Escalade stealing food stamps from your son.
Yeah, yeah.
He
you
wishes he could do that.
You start with that again.
Well, you brought
it up
first.
Okay, you don't live in Chicago.
All three of us have lived in Chicago.
We all lived in Chicago.
You know, how they play, you know, with the mayor. Gee, how convenient in the White House. Now he's the mayor. Daley steps down. Gee whiz. It's all written out.
Why do you hate Chicago?
There was an election. There was an election. Rahm Emanuel won.
Yeah. I don't hate Chicago.
It sounds like you do.
Oh, no. I don't hate Chicago.
Okay. Who do you hate?
Okay. I don't hate anybody.
Okay.
All right.
Oh. I don't hate anybody.
I thought it was going to be a whole new day for New Year's, and you seem extra cranky this morning.
No, I'm not extra cranky, okay? Like I had said the last time I called, I'm disgusted.
Oh.
I am disgusted. And you talk about, you know, with the Republicans. Well, you know what, America? When you get your first paycheck and you see the 2% that they take for taxes, then let's see what people will think. Why don't Americans, people that get a paycheck, why don't they boycott and say, you know what? I'm through giving these people money that we worked for.
What? Boycott who? What 2%? What?
What? Well, yeah. What's the truth? Why do I have
it's to the truth.
In the government my heart? So
you don't think you should have to pay taxes
for anything?
For anything?
You don't think we
you
should
know,
have
like
to pay
roads
taxes
and bridges
at all?
And, you know, infrastructure.
We shouldn't have to pay taxes.
I think we pay enough taxes.
Oh.
Okay. I think we pay enough.
Well, they just signed. There's no tax increase for 98% of us. What?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't know what you make, but when you get your check, when you see it's 2% less.
Where are you getting that 2% figure from? Your check is not going to be 2% less.
Well, you're
Are you in the top 1%, Mary?
Everybody's so smart there. Why don't you look it up and figure it out?
Okay, all right, I will. All right. Well, I still love you.
Okay. Well, you know what? Right. How long are you going to be on the air?
I don't know. Okay.
Ooh, if you cut her, does she not bleed?
She just shipped me there at the end.
I think she's subtracting the 2% from 100%. And so, therefore, the 98% who are not getting 2% out of my check. So, she did a little math there. And, drew
apparently,
the wrong conclusion.
I will not be getting 2% taken out of my check. I will have no check, apparently, according to her. I'll just be over here in the corner bleeding out. Finish without me. 51 finish.
Does that mean we get a check? Because if we don't get a check, we're not finishing.
Not after I bleed out.
Oh,
you know.
God.
51. Step to the
I
hour.
I get a Slovak. I have a special deal.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 56 minutes after the hour. 1-800. Look, where's the time gone? When I'm chatting with Roadkill Mary, there's just...
You
she
people.
Completes me.
Yes.
We finish each other's sentences. She had me at hello. Okay.
Whatever.
1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Really?
Toll free. What? Yes. Bill in Dayton.
You two should get married. I'm sure she'd love that.
I'm not one of those gays. I tried that last time. Remember?
I know.
Bill in Dayton, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, Stephanie. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes.
I'm listening to your show.
Yes.
And I heard a comment earlier, and not just on your show, but other programs as well. That's kind of the racial bias that the Republicans have against President Obama. Because he's African American.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious though, when I hear the statistics from the election, the vast majority, and it was in the 90-some% range, of African Americans voted for President Obama.
Right.
And if I have the statistic correct, also somewhere in the 50% range of white or Caucasian people voted for President Obama. So. Wouldn't that more lean towards more of a, couldn't that be interpreted as a racial bias against white people by the African American community?
Let me think about this. No.
Computer says no.
All right, but thank you for calling. I don't really.
Yeah.
What? No. They obviously thought he was the better candidate, and he has policies that appeal more to them.
Indeed. Okay, indubitably.
Then. Yes, blacks are all racist for voting for Obama.
Yeah, that's the only reason they voted for him.
See.
Black.
And you know, I brought these out early, and now I didn't get to do the bit. The Fred Willard, he avoided trial after completing a diversion program for that adult theater arrest.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Look over here. Look over here. Stop touching your penis. Look over here. That's what a diversion program is. All right. You know what? I'll work on that. We'll do
that was
tomorrow.
Doughy.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.